Welcome to The Roofer Show with your host, Dave Sullivan. You found the podcast that helps roofing contractors grow their businesses, make more money, and have more free time. Each week, Dave interviews the industry's top experts who will give you actionable tips and strategies for the real world of construction to help you take your roofing business to the next level. So let's get down to business.
Hey everybody, what's up? Welcome to The Roofer Show, the place to be if you want to grow a more profitable roofing business. I'm Dave Sullivan, The Roofer Coach, and I've been a successful contractor for over 30 years, and I'm here to share with you what I've learned. Go check out my new website at theroofercoach.com. We've got a great show for you today. I've got Ryan Groth with the Sales Transformation Group coming back on, and we get into sales. We get into how to build a sales team, a successful sales team. We talk about how to compensate them, how to motivate them, getting down our sales processes. We also have a great conversation about the meaning of success because it's different for each of us. And it changes over time, so you're going to want to listen to this. But before we get into our interview with Ryan, I'd like to pull out a few tips from my coaching program this week, some of the contractors that I worked with and some of the topics that we covered. The first tip is when you're running a meeting, let's say it's your sales meeting, production meeting, hopefully you are having regular meetings with your team. First off is keep them short and sweet. Make sure you follow an agenda. Don't drag it on. But what I like to do is go around the room and start off with, give me one word that you're thinking of, whatever that is. Let's start this meeting off on a good foot. Let's get everybody's participation. Little thought. And so my word today is gratitude. I am really thankful for friends and family around me. They're safe. They're healthy. And coming into the holidays, you know, I just want to show my gratitude and be thankful for what we've got. So that's a good way to kind of start things off, just simple. And our second simple tip is that this show comes out every Friday. So we are going to call this Follow-Up Friday. Every Friday, we're going to think about following up. Just something simple. Let's say I'm going to call 5 older customers. We did work for them 6 months ago, perhaps. And I'm just going to say, hey, thank you. Just wanted to call, let you know that we really appreciated your business. Make sure everything is okay here. We're coming into winter. And just want to wish you a happy holidays, whatever it is. And at the same time, gives you an opportunity to, hey, you know, our company is built on referrals, as you know, which is why you probably went with us. Just keep us top of mind when you run across somebody that's thinking about doing a roofing project. If you could pass that along, really appreciate it. Thank you. Great to talk to you. Let me know if I can ever be of service. All right. Simple, easy. Otherwise, you're going to be like my garage door repairman that I've talked about. I mean, I love this guy, but it came time to change my garage doors. It's probably about 10 grand. Nice little job for him. I could not remember who the hell it was. I mean, I dug through my file. I said, well, I'm not going to spend too much time on this. But because he just didn't keep in touch, all I had to do is drop a little postcard in the mail once in a while. I mean, that's what separates you. That's what differentiates you from your competition because you do it. You get out, just say thanks once in a while and make sure they remember you. Otherwise, it's too easy to forget your name. And this idea of, oh, they'll find me when they need me is a lot of crap. Or maybe you're going to call another 5 customers and ask them to give you a review. Give me a 5-star Google review. And as we talk about on the show, you've got to make it easy and simple for them. Tell them it's just going to take a minute, but that's really important for your business. Make sure they're happy with the job that you did first, obviously. But you've got to ask. And these things really add up, man. If you make, you know, 5 calls each week, you're going to have a ton of reviews, and it makes a huge difference. Or another way, we know we don't follow up enough on our open quotes. We've got proposals out there that we haven't followed up on, maybe. Hey, this has been a month, unfortunately, since you called them last. Give them a call. See if you can help. Any questions they have, whatever. Or have you done the project? Yes. Yes or no? Just let me know. But doing that follow-up, it's going to bring in additional sales, and it's also going to clean up your list. Maybe they had the project done. You want to know that. The worst thing is just having things sitting out there and you don't know what the hell's going on. So follow up every Friday. You can do it on Monday if you want, follow up Mondays, but it just doesn't have the same ring. So I'm going to remind everybody and let me know how it goes. I love the feedback. Send me a text. 510-612-1450. Send me a text. What did you do for a follow-up? Did it help? Did it work? Let me know. I love to hear from everybody. Texting is so easy. It just takes a minute. It's a great way to communicate with your prospects, your team. Texting is great. So let me know, because I love feedback. Feedback is the breakfast of champions. You should be getting it and you should be giving it. Love to hear from you. All right. Well, quickly, let's talk about two different coaching calls I had with separate contractors, different parts of the country. First one, the leads are just piling in. He can't keep up with them. He's telling me, man, I got more business than I can handle. You know, I'm backlogged out at, over 6 weeks. So the first thing I tell him is, that's too far out, man. Raise your prices. Get that backlog cut down a little bit. Particularly, you got so many leads coming in. Pick the cream of the crop and go out there and sell those. Show the value that you're worth, but get your prices up. Simple as that. What he's doing is he's just telling these guys, hey, you know, I'm sorry, I'm too busy for, you know, to come out and look at it. You know, that's the end of it. Go call somebody else. Well, that's no way to handle it. How about if you capture these calls that come in and go ahead and say with the first way is, hey, you know, I'm sorry, Mrs. Jones, we are just swamped right now, as you can imagine. You know, COVID's really got us screwed up for whatever reason. Let me take your name and number and your information, and I'll follow back up with you, say, in springtime when you're slow, because you're going to be slow at some point. This may not last forever. Who knows what the hell's going to happen in 2021, but it's going to be different. So if we've got that information, things slow down, we can follow up, because chances are they're not going to get a contractor to be able to do the work, or maybe it's not that important. But when you follow up, there's some additional revenue you're going to have, different additional sales that you can pick up rather than throwing these things away. I mean, you paid a lot of money to get that phone to ring, so make sure you capture these guys. The other way to do it is have a referral partner. Say, well, I'm sorry, but you know, we're just backed up right now, but let me give you the number of ABC Roofing. Make sure you talk to Joe. Tell him that I sent you over there, and he should be able to help you. They're going to appreciate that a lot. And what you see, just go to Yelp, and you know, if you're blowing these guys off, man, a lot of times they'll be pissed off. They'll leave you a lousy review, and you didn't even do any work for them. So that's no good. So there's two ways to handle these calls if you're just too busy to take them. But our second contractor, he's got the opposite problem. I mean, he was booming, and then just really in the last couple of weeks, it's like somebody turned off the faucet, he tells me. The leads are not coming in. He's caught up with his jobs. And this is something that I saw probably a good month ago. And we talked about, because I could see that the leads were starting to fall off a little. So I wanted him to up his advertising. You know, you should be, that's why you want to hook up with Mark Levesque over at WebRunner Media that we've had on the show so many times. But you've got to be consistent on your marketing. Even if you're just booming, you don't ever turn off your marketing. So now we've got this problem where things have really shut down. And you could see this because the leads were starting to slow down. He had so much work going on. But these are signs that, hey, there's trouble ahead. So we got to deal with it now. But hey, you can lead a horse to water. But anyway, so now we've got a real problem with this. So besides kicking up our paid advertising, I want you to go back through all your open jobs like we've talked about. Man, it's a gold mine. You know, as we talk about, most people don't buy initially. They got to think about it. They got to wait for something. Or it's just sitting there. And how many times have you called to follow up, as we've been discussing here, follow up Friday? And they say, you know, I hadn't really thought about it, but you're right. I got to get this thing done. Let's go ahead with the job. So I want them to go back through all of those jobs. Well, the problem is that it hasn't really been up on, doesn't really have a CRM. So we came up with and said, look, let's just give you a simple spreadsheet, get this stuff in there, make sure that you are always capturing all the information, lead source, where they're coming from, all that information, and then track these as, you know, you put your quotes out. So he's got a big box, you know, okay, let's go through them one at a time, man. Let's bang it out because there's money there. So that's what we're working on now, trying to get through that. And I know he's going to pick up a lot of business from that. So moral of the story is, you know, start off, keep it simple. I mean, you don't need anything complicated, but you've got to capture all this information. You need to know your lead source so you know what marketing is working, where they're calling from. Get all this information down. What stage of the sale are these deals in your pipeline? And be tracking these, be constantly following up. And it's tough, particularly when you're so busy, all you're trying to do is get work on. But it's not always going to be like this, as we say. You've always got to be marketing, keep getting those numbers out there, and always know your numbers, know where you're at. And finally, since our word of the day is gratitude, I want to show my gratitude to our sponsor, and that's Ruby Receptionists. They're the ones that make this show possible. And as you've heard me talk about Ruby, they're virtual receptionists. They do a great job at answering the phone. They do it quickly. They do it professionally with a friendly voice. We were talking about losing these calls earlier, and this is something that Ruby can do. Doesn't matter how busy you are, you've still got to answer that phone and you've got to have someone friendly there. And this is what I like about Ruby. You can capture these calls that come in. They can tell these people, hey, we're really backed up right now. But if you can hang on until spring when we're slower, let's get the information, take that stuff down and get back to them. And Ruby does a great job with this. But if you're just rolling these things over in a voicemail, these callers are not going to leave a message. And as we talked about, you're just wasting money getting that phone to ring. Nobody's picking it up. All you're doing is ticking off the prospects. And that stuff starts really affecting your reputation, your brand. Don't do that. So check out Ruby. You can go to callruby.com/roofershow, see what they're all about. If it works out for you, you can use my promo code ROOFER50 and they'll knock off $50 off your first month's service. But I have a number of contractors that I work with that use them and they're real happy with them. So check it out, see if it's right for you. All right, well, let's finally get into our interview with Ryan Groth. Ryan, thanks for coming on the show again. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, Dave. Glad to be here, brother.
This is going back to July of 2018, episode number 71. You were on the show back then, building a quality sales organization. And now we're closing in on episode number 200. It's been a while. I know that you've gone through a number of evolutions in your company, your personal life. So why don't you give us the backstory, bring us up to date on what you've been up to and Sales Transformation Group.
Yeah, a lot of good stuff, a lot of growth. I think when we met, I had probably a handful of clients. I moved into the course model. So although people love coming to see me or I come to see them, very important, was struggling to help as many people as I felt like I could try to help. So moved into a really good course. So we have a really solid course to help develop a sales organization for sales leaders, sales people, with an emphasis on helping them really learn how to sell more in the retail and commercial space, like real relationship selling, prospecting, real fundamental high level sales training. So we do that. We do coaching and we have a great program. I'm grateful for the way it's come together. It really helps grow people, not just in sales, but in on an individual level. So I feel like I put in on the business side, my best work of art and machinery into that course. And we have a really dialed system. So I started the company in February of 2018 after 4.5 years of launching a CRM with the roofing contractor. So I was able to hit the ground running. We have about 180 customers, bringing on 10 to 20 a month, hopefully more than that as we continue to aim to scale and help the industry. We love roofing. We love all trades. But we're typically right now focusing on a construction space on our B2B model. So that's what we're doing there. As we started business and had more freedom and I was building this company, and which I still am every day, I found myself looking at my wife, and she wanted to change some things in her life. She wanted to move, and I wanted a fourth kid. So we made a deal and said, let's go to Hawaii and we'll have another baby. So we did that. We actually closed on a house in July and had our fourth little child. Her name's Naomi. So we have two boys, two girls. We live in Maui and we were in South Florida. And so also come to the mainland. I have a few trips planned, but yeah, it's been good for us personally. And COVID kind of fell right in our hands actually. And so I didn't feel like I was resisting what I was doing prior in the industry, which was go to an event, speak, meet people, shake their hand, have a drink or have a meal with them and come back home and bring them into our program and start training and coaching them. So it's been really cool to see how this has worked in our favor, because now it's kind of normalized. Everybody's comfortable with this. And I was already trying to do it prior for family reasons. So with that said, people are very open to doing everything remotely with our coursework, and people are getting awesome results in the midst of COVID, still growing their business, still making sales. And for that, I am really grateful. And yeah, it's a great industry to be a part of and love doing what we do.
Four kids. I've got three boys here and I get my hands full. That would really do it. But it's awesome that you're over in Hawaii. You should spend a lot of time over there. But now that we got COVID, it's what do we got? 14-day quarantine in the hotel room. So it's like, we'll have to wait on that. Recently, I heard you on John Dye's podcast, and that's the American Contractor Show. John's a great guy. He's been on our show before. You guys talked about redefining what success means. In my program, we always start at the end, the why. Why are you doing this? Where are you going? Where do you want to end up? What's your destination? And really just kind of digging down on what this means for you. What's it all about? What does success mean? And generally, they really don't have a clear picture of why they're doing this, where they want to go. Or generally, it's, I want to grow my business. I want to be a big company. I want to do this. I want to make a lot of money and so forth. So we really start with, let's back up, take a look what you're trying to do. Because, for instance, in my business, I didn't want to be the biggest guy in town. I wanted to be able to have the freedom to do what I wanted. And that's why we really focused on the re-roofing portion, the maintenance. We had a great company set up that did not require a lot of my time, built up a great sales force. But that's what was important to me. And I know everybody has different definitions of success. And you guys really dug into this. And I really like that. Just wanted to get a few of your thoughts, because I thought that was a great conversation that the two of you had.
I appreciate that. You know, that's come from personal introspection and struggles, quite honestly. you know, whenever I was faced with coming to Hawaii, you know, my wife wanting to move to Hawaii and then me being on the speaker trail in the industry and then relying on that to grow my business, I found myself really resisting what she wanted. I'm like, no, like I can't even fathom being over there. Like, it's just, it's insane. And so when I started to look at why, I started to realize that, I had more narcissistic, selfish tendencies than I really like to admit. You know, it was really at the end of the day, I'm like, I want this because I want to achieve something to make me feel better about myself. I'm like, I think we have a problem here, because if I keep thinking that this is success for me, I'm going to probably not be married any longer, if you know what I mean. Like, I have an issue here. You know what I mean? So I said, is that success? Like, would I rather be a single dad seeing my kids maybe very rarely so that I can have a lot of money and be known and famous? I mean, or whatever. That's a bunch of baloney. Like, have my name on some sales coaching list and in some magazine. And I started to realize that clearly I'm also a very strong Christian. So, you know, my core values are lined up with the Bible and what success looks like there, which is not about, you know, things on this earth. And so as I started to realize, like, I think I have some issues here, what would make me feel a lot better is if I redefine success, because I don't want to stop being growth minded, right? I don't want to all of a sudden stop growing my business. But when I asked the question, if my whole business reputation, everything fell apart and I had just my family and they loved me and we were strong, would I be more successful than the alternative? Sometimes I'm an extremist. Sometimes I need to do that to create some polarity to help me make a decision. I was like, well, obviously I would much rather have a family and not be known by anybody or help anybody and just my family be loved. I would be okay. And so when I realized that, I was like, so let's deposit into making that a reality. And then guess what? Everything else gets better, right? So when I realized that success is being faithful with what you've been entrusted, that is success to me. Being faithful with what you've been entrusted. So it's not hitting a certain amount of money. It's not doing this or that. Because I believe that if you're faithful with something, or your sales guy faithful with one account, one prospect, one territory, one list, if you're faithful with that, what does the boss want to do? He wants to give you more, right? You're showing that you're ready for more. And I found myself saying, well, maybe I'm not able to be entrusted with a much larger business because it would destroy my family. So what do I do is I realize that if I'm faithful with what I've been entrusted and that's my goal of success, everything starts to take care of themselves. What does that look like? Well, faithfulness of our health, you know, our minds, our thoughts, our relationships, our families, our personal finances, faithful with our clients, the tools and the information and the resources out in the world that are at our disposal. Like, we can use all that to be faithful. And I believe that when we're faithful with those things in which we have the opportunity in which we're entrusted, which is time. I mean, at the end of the day, we can handle more. And so I stopped putting I love being goal-oriented. I have vision. I mean, it's not like I don't, but what, you know, what it started to look like for me personally was like, hey, if I move to Hawaii and I'm able to keep my business at the same revenue, but have double the time, I just doubled my business, right? With that being the best definition of success. So now that I created more infrastructure and delegated and automated and leveraged the technology, guess what? Now, not only did I double my business by working the same amount of hours. Sorry, not that I keep my revenue with half the time, but I ended up doubling my business with half of the time that I originally was spending. So it just, for me, it became a lot easier to make decisions because I know what success is for me right now. And it might evolve again. But also, Dave, if you think about this, if I were to say like, hey, well done, faithful Dave, would that have looked like accumulating everything under yourself, or would that have looked like helping those around you, right, that you've been surrounded with? So I realized that, like, for me, my measure of faithfulness is the degree of my clients, my family first and foremost, right? My team members. And if they're growing, right, and I'm faithful to grow them, help them, and by serving them, then I'm winning. But at the end of the day, there's no room for that if you're a narcissist, if you have a huge ego and it's all about you. And so I had to go deep to those places and realize that there was some like need to be successful that was constructed with some kind of imagery, whether it was a role model or somebody or this or that. And I had to realize that's not the way that I'm going to follow. I'm not going to follow that path. And I had to make a clear choice. And so from there though, obviously all the other things that are successful have been, you know, growing as a result. But at the end of the day, my wife is supporting me a lot more because I'm supporting her, quite frankly. I love her well. She's supporting me. We connect, we communicate a lot better. And because of that, I'm able to not feel like if I'm on my phone and she asks me a question, I'm going to snap, right? Like we've all been there. We know it's like, because why we're so focused on my business. Well, guess what? Let's redefine success altogether. And now when you speak to your wife, you're completely successful because she's more important than anybody else. But then as a result of that, you communicate, create space, and you take care of your clients, and you're not doing it with friction. So I know that if we're good, my clients are going to get better results because I'm able to serve them with a more level head, with more peace, with more clear-mindedness, and more intentional. And as a result, I also think that people who follow me are inspired to do the same. And so they're living a better life. And so I don't think that you can just separate business and personal, that it's all a bunch of garbage. We're all working together. It's all working for some reason. It's all integrated. So I try to live an integrated life now more than I would have said I was before, but I wasn't actually doing it with my actions. Mm-hmm. And so actions speak much louder than words. So if mentor mindset, hey, your actions are speaking so loudly, I can't hear what you're saying. And so I was real good at talking about how much I love my family, but was I actually loving my family? Well, when I'm traveling 2 or 3 times a month, especially in the beginning of the year when all the trade shows are going on, and my wife's like, I hate it when you travel. It just is. And I'm like, well, you got to do it. Suck it up, buttercup. I got to make money. Well, what if there's another way? So when I started to redefine success, it opened up everything. And as a result, I, you know, doubled my business, tripled my business, serving more clients, helping them get results.
Yeah, I agree. You've got to go deep. And this is, you've got to look at what success is for you individually and not what everybody else is doing, trying to compete. And this is something that really happens in this industry is that, you know, I want to be on that list of top 100 contractors, and that's my goal. If that's your end, you have to come back, build that roadmap to get you there and see what that looks like. But you're not going to have a lot of free time, most likely. You're going to just be stressed out. And if that's what's important, that's great. But for me, I did want to have time to raise my kids, to be with them, to be out there for baseball and so forth, to have that time, to have the time to travel. That was what was important. And you have to give things up to do that, but you have to start at the end and see what's really important. And then we can come back, build that roadmap to get us there. That's something that we really talk about a lot. The other thing that I want to get into, we talk about really getting down to knowing what it is. What business are you in? I see they're all over the place. I mean, guys are doing basements, windows, roofing, gutters. They want to do residential, commercial, everything. What I learned early on when I hired a coach, what happened was they came in and said, hey, you know, where are you making your money? And I go, I don't know, do everything. Well, we broke it down and it turned out that we were actually losing money in residential. We were making our money in commercial. And I just didn't understand that. So when we dropped the residential profit center or loss center in that case, things just really took off. And we were just by focusing down on what it was that we did well. And I say that, you know, the riches are in the niches. We niched down and really focused on that. And we were able to grow that division profitably. Then we added on the maintenance division after that, and we really expanded it. But really understanding what it is that you do is critical to get started with. And this is one of the things we really get into. Now, one of the questions that I get or concerns that the contractors that I work with, we've got two things that I see all the time. One is you've got guys that do storm work and they want to get into retail work, or they're doing residential and they all want to get into commercial. Well, I see those as totally different businesses. And it's not just a natural progression But I know that you're into this. This is something that you guys do a lot of, where let's just take the storm business. I know how important it is to have consistent business that you can rely on, and that's the retail. I we don't have storms out here in California particularly, so I don't know all that much about it, but it just seems that you're waiting for these storms to come in and you have no control over that, where if you're doing retail work, that's where you can have control, have the consistency. What do you think about that? Is that something, because I assume that's the direction that you want to try to take these companies, because this is what you do. What are your thoughts on this, and how do they make that transition from just doing storm work to something a little more predictable like retail?
Yeah, so getting into retail or commercial are both two strategies to offset and create more predictability. If you want to make $1 million in a couple of years in a big storm, then just be a storm chaser and then wait for the next one. I mean, that's okay, but you're probably not going to have a marriage that'll last. You're probably going to have kids that'll resent you. You're going to be all over the place. So if you're family oriented and you want your company to be like that, or to have some stability and like stay somewhere, give back to your community, build a brand, you got to commit to retail. And those are the things that you get when you focus on that, retail and commercial. You're going to build relationships, right? You're not just going to go chase an event, capitalize on it, and sell $1,000 deductible, which really isn't sales at all. It's like fish in a barrel, it's like catching it and coming home. I think there's some power to that, right? It's super juicy to, you know, you're making great money and all that, insurance is paying for it. But again, that doesn't last. And I know some markets like Texas and Oklahoma and Colorado, they are more regularly hit by weather events. So there is something there where, but you need to offset it. So if you're in that event, let's say you're in Colorado right now, it's a storm market. Boy, when it hits, it's like, it's bonkers. Let's go. We're going to make our money. You need to probably get into commercial. And I have clients that struggle with that, got into commercial through service repair and maintenance first, and servicing, building accounts, not selling jobs. And they're able to, between one, from zero in 18 to 24 months, be between 3.5 and 5 million, okay, in commercial. That's something you can do if you have an owner or a sales leader who commits to selling real relationally and asking the right questions and prospecting and things like that. It's not that hard. It just takes actual sales skills. That's the thing. You actually got to try and be a salesperson, a professional salesperson. You do that, you can build a professional sales team. It could be commission-based if you want. I mean, there's ways to do it. You recruit, you have a ramping process, and they are prospecting. And you do that. But commercial, you can, again, go after industrial parks and property managers and owners and networking events and social media networking, LinkedIn, all that. Outbound email lists. All that stuff works. But if you're not in a storm market, then you already should be doing retail and need to be thinking that's what we're going to do through residential retail and commercial, private work, which is direct to owner and manager, not new construction. Because new construction is kind of like storm work. It's cyclical. Maybe it'll last a little longer, but the margins are tough. The pay is slow. You know, the clients are tough, and you're really, it's a bid game versus they're buying from your expertise and they value what you have to say and what you're telling them to do. So that being said, you could still get GCs to buy from you like that, but many of them won't. They're trying to beat you up on price. So that being said, I think it's really important to focus on building a sales organization around relationships and local market that doesn't rely on the insurance to pay for it. If you can do that, you need to be able to sell cash, add real value, and solve real problems. But yeah, I mean, you just got to know that if you do commit to this and you get the right help, it'll propel you forward to get more consistent revenues, build reputation of we do great work, get reviews, the brand actually matters. Your referrals will start to come in, especially if you're proactive and asking them, and you're prospecting. So it's a lot of fun. That's what we do for a living over here, is help people do that, because I think it's great that you can have a storm. But I felt like I was a storm chaser as a consultant traveling to the roofing events. Hey, babe, I got to be gone for 5 days. I'll go. And then you go and you're away from your family and you're just doing everything you can. You're working 12-hour days. You come home. You got to talk to your wife and basically make sure she's not like jumping off a cliff because she's got kids and she's pulling her hair out and she's struggling and where were you? And then gosh, and then add on, if you're a partier and you like to party while you're gone, which I don't, but if you do, that adds a whole nother level of suspicion and frustration to your life. I mean, dude, who can live like that? Yeah. I can't. That's not for me, man. I don't want that. So if you want that, you got to find a way to, how do I get business by staying home? And if you're a contractor, you do that through retail and commercial, period.
I agree. And as I said, that's what we did. And we built the relationships and just that repeat business, really clearly looking at who our ideal customer was, our avatar. And we had, there's just so many guys that multiple building owners, they're investors, they're not property flippers. This is how we built our business. They also believe in maintenance. And this was great because if you can build a program of maintenance contracts, you've got reoccurring income. And this is something that has real value when you go to sell your business, because if you're just working on transactions, there's no value in that. And so many contractors just end up closing the doors. They're killing themselves all these years. They think they're building a business. Well, you're not. You've got to build something that has value to an outside owner that does not rely on you or just a couple of people in this business that you can walk away from eventually and sell this. And that's what you're going to survive on it or thrive on through retirement.
Totally.
Okay, well, I'm sold on all this. So now I want to start, I'm kind of starting from scratch as a contractor. We've got some smaller contractors that are listening to this show. How do I go about building a sales organization? Do I go find some guys that are in the business and that have sailed and a God's gift to roofing sales? Or do I bring people from the outside in other industries? How are we going to go about this? And what are your thoughts on starting to build, particularly getting our first guy and then kind of going from there?
I would say that most owners are more technical than they are business savvy. Not to say that you're not business savvy. But what I would do if I was you is I would get sales trained yourself. I would, you know, not trying to just plug myself for the kick of it. I would get like a program like mine or something like it and learn how to sell. Because if you could sell and you get your high margin, juicy bread and butter, like that's our client, the faster you can learn how to identify those, sell those on, the more your reviews are going to come in, the more your case studies, your marketing, your testimonials, all that stuff comes from your best clients. The best clients in the marketplace are going to want to say, hey, I want to, who's like me, right? And if you're not working with people like them, the social proof is in there and they're not going to feel like excited to work with you. So I would get your best clients. I mean, the first 150 of our clients I sold, and now we're adding more. They're trying to pitch other people on people like them. Hey, we've helped people like you. We solve problems like this. You know, we've done projects like this. We've worked on buildings like this. And here are the results, right? And you have references. People buy relationally as well as you try to sell relationally. So they need to have people that they can hear is like, this is working. All that to say, an owner should spend the first 6 months learning to go through multiple sales cycles and getting a sales discipline down, because then they're like, dude, I know exactly the kind of person that's going to follow my vision and do what I'm sharing because I've done it myself. Doesn't mean you need to do it forever. Like, please, for good Lord, like once you got the playbook, the process, the mindset has been upgraded, the frameworks mentally are assembled, and you know a sales process, you can coach. And then typically when you have a few of them, your best one who's got leadership quality can be a sales manager that's homegrown. And I would hire people that organically, first off, unless you have a real door-to-door kind of environment or an inside sales team, which is something we help people later on, but people who are going to be seeing buildings, right? Like, and or going to homes. That's something that you need to probably find organically that have the right core values and can be a part of your vision. Also, when you do this reoccurring predictable model, you feel a little bit more confidence to pay base, which in commercial makes sense and residential is not always necessary. It depends on the kind of brand velocity you have in the marketplace and the number of leads that come in. So there are a lot of ways to talk about this, but bottom line, Dave, they need to learn how to sell as the owner and not just, hey, I'm an owner, but no sales is a difference. Like you could sell a job as an owner, but knowing sales, that's different. Like, why do people buy? What are the milestones? What does qualifying mean? What does pre-qualifying mean? What does consultative selling mean? What does selling value look like? How do I give someone the framework for that? Well, a program like mine, for example, not that I'm the only one on the planet, but we do a good job of it, helps you form that mentally. And then when you can do it, get some disciplines on it, you're prospecting regularly, then you could say to somebody, hey, look, I've done this. It's got great results. Now you do it and you're going to spend even more time on it because you're not running jobs and doing anything fine on the financials. Let's grow. Let's go. And then you're just high-fiving. And then you guys are off to the races and somebody's going to do real well. Someone may be average. Someone may not work out. But you know how to recruit and identify and ramp people up. So there's a lot to say about this. But, man, the best companies are when owners are bought into learning sales. They're learning brand. They learn positioning. They learn. And then if they learn marketing, it's super dangerous. So I love that. And the companies that do really well do that. And then they start to bring on people with the right type of wherewithal, humility, core values, intelligence, people skills, and they can be a part of something big. So, and then you empower them and release them and coach them and hold them accountable.
I totally agree, because too many business owners, they came up through the trades. They're great at their skills from that, but they don't like sales. I think sales is sleazy. Yeah. They don't like it. I'm not good at it. Well, if you're going to be successful, exactly as you say, you have to learn sales. And this is a skill that you can learn, as you say, from somebody like yourselves. But it's so important to, if you're going to grow your business, you have to understand how sales works. You have to build sales processes where you understand what's involved, and then you can bring somebody in. You've got a process set up. You're not just throwing them out there and saying, hey, come on, ride with Joe in 2 weeks and then we're going to let you loose. That does not work. So totally agree with what you're saying on that. You've got to learn how to sell, and the owner has to start off selling. And then when you're ready, you've got that down, you can bring on sales guys. You say you build a sales team, and hopefully out of that, you can get a leader out of that, somebody that's going to run this team. Now, something I get asked all the time, which I'm sure you do, is about compensation. There's a million ways to pay, you know, compensation, incentives. What are some thoughts? I mean, there's obviously, you know, you've got salary, you've got commission based on profits, on top line sales, all over the place. What are some thoughts that you have?
Yeah, so I have some opinions. I think that early stage, you probably don't have the funding and the capital to pay a lot of salaries. So don't think, oh, I got to add a bunch of overhead. I would encourage you to start out with a commission model, especially if you're doing commercial and you want to build those reoccurring accounts and you'll feel the excitement. It'll be low risk. You might have a little bit more turnover early on, but if you have a sales process, you've sold, you're going to coach them, you're ready to hold them accountable, you're going to track them, all that stuff's happening, it's great. Then you can afford to do a commission, and I would do it on mainly gross profit margin, unless you can actually predict what the estimate will match with the job cost, and you'll have your margins regularly, which most of you don't. So what I would do is pay off gross profit, and that's something that you would do at the end when you job cost and you count the numbers, like, hey, we actually made 30% on this, or this service job, we made 65%. This is great, right? So I would do that unless you got it so dialed with an estimation process, or you can mark it up the way you want and it'll turn out that way at the end. Most companies don't have that formula down. So I would just focus on gross profit early on. When you have enough of account base, you can pay, I like to do on commercial, a salary plus bonus, which is not a commission. It's based on if they hit their numbers, which is primarily around service contracts and gross profit. And then you want to, if you want to build a really good repeatable model, I would focus on compensating where it's more attractive to sell a service job than it is a re-roof job. Or if they sell the re-roof, they won't get paid on re-roof unless they actually hit their service numbers. So you want to put some locks around that, some golden handcuffs, so to speak, because I can tell you compensation drives behavior. And if you don't draw the line in the sand, you ain't going to sell service, and they're going to sell a re-roof all day and they want to get paid. So just don't do that. On a residential side, you can do the same. I think service, as small the tickets are, it's doing the right thing for your customer. You can end up making great gross profits as you would in commercial. And you will still get the re-roof because if you do a great job, stop the leak, and then a year later, they're actually going to do the roof, you're going to be the one that does it. So it just takes a little bit of patience. So really, at the end of the day, it's branding. and compensating your sales team heavily on service so that they do a lot more volume of that and create a lot of accounts. And then those will in turn create a lot of multiple projects.
Agreed, man. This is some great stuff. Ryan, I know you've got to run. I could talk sales with you all day, but give us some information. How do we get more? How do we learn about your program at Sales Transformation Group?
Yeah, go to salestransformationgroup.com, go to Get a Price, go to our program. On that page, I have a 1-hour video that walks through things and how my mentor went from 8 to 50 million over the last decade in commercial. Talk about our sales process. There's some schematics that I put in there, some models. But then you're just going to fill out a 5-minute questionnaire and then book a call with us. We're not going to tell you the price over on the page. It is an investment, but you will get paid in spades if you implement it. It will absolutely make you rich and give you time, and you'll have fun doing it with a lot of integrity too. It's not going to be a low integrity sales process. This is high, high integrity, fully transparent, authentic sales. So many people think sales is weird and sleazy. I do it the completely most authentic and honest way possible because that's how I live. And it's turned out really well for me. So I would encourage you to go there. We'll ask you to fill out a questionnaire, do a 1-hour consultation. If you want me on there, just put in the notes. I want Ryan on there. If not, you'll get one of my great sales guys that are trained to do this. And we'll give you a couple of options. We have something for one-man shows, something for guys with a couple people, some with larger teams, want more support, and mastermind groups. So we have some options here. I assure you, it'll make it affordable and give you some great results. So look forward to meeting you guys.
Hey, love it. That's a great program. Everybody should check that out. And Ryan, we'll have to get you back on again before that 2-year mark.
Let's do it.
And thanks for coming on so much, and we will catch up with you soon. Thanks,
Ryan. Thanks, Dave. Appreciate it.
All right. Well, that's it for the show today. Really appreciate everybody listening. If you want to get more information on my coaching program, one-on-one coaching, go check out my website at theroofercoach.com. And we'll see you next week on The Roofer Show.